across Maya is a violent sickness altering the very form of nature. The people cower behind city walls, losing their connections to history and all hope of a better life. But six seasoned adventurers, Allegan, gnome sorcerer, Logoth, the bone-armed cleric, Mativis, Varana samurai, Nydia, hag hedgewitch, Ogan the Anvil, human cleric, and Ravi, half-orc magus librarian, will be called out of retirement to battle monsters and the sickness itself, speak with the gods above and below, and separate myth from truth. Join us for The Great Old Ones.
Last episode, our party pieced together the history of the Temple of Kavgarn, and were able to deal and bargain with the shadow creature known as Oob. We join the party as Allegan the Gnome dispatches Oob back to the Shadow Plane.
Yeah.
Is that a crit?
And you crit
yeah,
it.
And yeah. You crit it.
So 34 times 4 damage. Point blank to this thing's chest. You literally just... Poof.
Kind
it's,
of.
It's vapor.
Kind of blew up this room.
And it goes... It goes... Thank you.
See, now we can loot in peace.
All right. So, other things that you find in this room.
Question, did the
oh, hold
shade
on real quick.
Collapse?
I'm making a note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the shade did not collapse.
It okay, didn't get just, burned up?
Thank you.
Nope.
Wow, it's a good shade.
It eats all light.
Yeah.
It eats all light, which is what I wanted to verify when Allegan shot the scorching ray.
Oh, good call. Yeah, that's a good way to test that. Bravo. It does eat all light.
The shade from this tent?
It does eat all light.
I'm curious, can the sunblade cut that down?
Or would it eat the sunblade? I was just thinking of cutting it with my claws.
I mean, looking at it, you can detach it from the eye rings that it's attached.
Great.
That's what I was going to say.
I think we should take it with us.
Okay.
I would like to as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest.
All right. Other things in this room. There is a arrow belt quiver. This arrow belt quiver is kind of neat.
It is the mighty arrow belt quiver of kind of neatness.
Well, it's made of finely tanned leather. It has slots for up to 200 rounds of ammunition pellets, black powder, and each are kept in tiny individual pouches or small loops. The bandolier alters itself magically to accommodate whatever kind of ammunition is put into it.
We can have bullets and black powder in this game?
As a swift action, the wearer, because remember, orcs can be gunslingers. As a swift action, the wearer can command a single round of ammunition from the bandolier to teleport into what they're wielding. So that could be an arrow, crossbow, longbow, shortbow, black powder musket.
Who else uses
flintlock pistol?
Who else uses a bow besides me? I have a heavy crossbow.
Logoth has a composite short bow.
I say we just take it and you two can decide between it later.
Okay.
There cool. are a pair of really unique chain gloves. Yes, really unique chain gloves. It is a revolution in smithing.
Good for you, Ogan.
basically, the suit of armor is made to keep the wearer completely covert. The armor penalty does not apply to the wearer's stealth checks. Once per day, the wearer can speak a command word to grant yourself a bonus stealth check equal to the armor's enhancement bonus for 1 minute. They are chain gloves +3.
I wear chain gloves. I mean, I am wearing... Metal
but those
gloves.
Are to those are to help your mithril. Your yeah. your strikes.
And this wouldn't.
No.
No, those are chain.
Yeah, those are chain gloves.
chain.
So you could cut some lunch meat without cutting your fingers off in the machine.
Pretty much. And there is
Ogan, you probably want to grab those. Maybe you could even melt them down. Just say.
Or there they would match your mithril armor.
There is a wildly shiny ring. The surface of the ring never tarnishes. Whenever the wearer takes a total defensive action, they can activate the ring and create a magic circle against evil centered on them. The effect lasts 10 rounds per day. The rounds do not need to be spent consecutively.
Ooh.
Once activated, the effect expends rounds until the user ends it takes a move equivalent action to end that. As a standard action, while the magic circle is activated, the wearer can release the protective circle's energy as a violent burst. This functions as holy smite centered on the wearer, but the wearer can exclude a 10-foot radius area from the center of the affected area. Releasing the energy expends all the ring's remaining rounds for the day. It can only be done if 5 rounds remain. And the ring renews each day at dawn.
I think that's got your name on it, Ogun.
Okay. Sounds good to me. I'll take that.
That is a ring of holy smite.
Yeah. That has your name all over it.
I'll tell you what, it's one of my favorite spells. I'll grab that one. Who's going to grab the gloves? I'm not really a stealth guy.
Someone else wants
them. Well, the gloves are stealth gloves. They're chain gloves that work for stealth. They're not going to give you a bonus to attack.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
And the blade itself, since I didn't describe for our users at home, the blade is...
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome. The sword is the size of a bastard sword. However, the sun blade, you wield it as a short sword, is as far as how much it weighs. In other words, it appears to all viewers as a bastard sword, deals bastard sword damage, but the wielder feels and reacts to it as if it was a short sword.
Jammage.
Yeah.
I wanna deal jammage.
Jammage! In normal combat, the glowing golden blade of the weapon is equal to +2 bastard sword. Against evil creatures, it has an enchantment bonus of +4. Against negative energy planar creatures or undead, the sword deals double damage and x3 on a critical. The blade also has a special sunlight power. Once per day, the wielder can swing the blade vigorously above their head while speaking the command word, and the sun blade then sheds a bright yellow radiance that acts like bright light and affects creatures susceptible to light as if it were natural sunlight. The radiance begins shining in a 10-foot radius around the sword wielder and extends outwards at 5 feet per round for 10 rounds thereafter to a dim glow that persists for another minute before disappearing entirely. All of these blades are of good alignment. Any evil creature trying to attempt to wield one of these blades gains a negative level. The negative level remains as long as the sword is in the hand and disappears when the sword is no longer wielded. It cannot be overcome in any way.
I'm not touching it.
Yeah, it's essentially a holy adventure. It's a pretty powerful weapon.
Sounds like a monkey
man's
sword.
I think we'll need it for the Lord of Chains.
So,
yes, saying.
Quickly looking up Basso, so it'd be 1d10 +2, yeah?
Correct.
Critical multiplier 3.
Cool. And then +4 against evil.
Yeah, I don't know how to put that in the sheets. I've just put it in the description.
Okay.
So just be something I can remember when I find evil.
And you guys made friends with Oob.
I wrote down a boon from Oob.
Boon from Oob.
I just want to say I made a better deal.
You did. You made a very good deal.
You guys were like, let's just destroy it. Stop that. Make a deal first.
You just wanted to close the door and walk away.
Wait, which deal did you make?
I made the deal for the boon. You just killed it. You were just like, here's a scorching ray. No more conversation.
But you made the deal, but it considers Allegan its friend. So take that for what it's worth as well. So what's the next move, kids?
Well, let's try the door.
Allegan standing in front of a door. I'm standing near a door. Mativis is in front of it now.
I'm going to head behind Allegan.
Okay.
Because I think we should open this door.
He wants us to check out this door.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I open it.
What is this?
Big long corridor.
There's a long hallway full of runes and wards and incantations. None of them seem to be disturbed, but they seem to be keeping something in, not out.
The whole hall is covered with them?
Yes.
It's keeping something on our side in?
Yes.
Read magic.
Which we have figured out has already escaped at this point, so it's not really doing anything.
Ho! Ho! Look at that roll, son!
My concentration's nuts.
Yeah, okay, so while you're looking at it to read magic, not only do you determine that once you go down this corridor, returning is impossible, this way at least. Basically, once you go forward, going back would take a heck of a wave, like a hella powerful will save to come back through. You also determine that something walked down this corridor and left probably within the last 48 hours.
What? Bum,
yeah,
bum, bum.
Tell everybody else that. Basically this is an out, not in hallway, and something left here within the past 48 hours.
Something that maybe had a baby dragon or woke up the baby dragon.
Well, there's the other thing of how this room works in regards to time. We don't actually know when Kavagar left and Chris decided to follow.
Yeah.
Do you want to, shall we check the other rooms before we leave? Because
I agree with
you. One-way ticket.
If we're going to have to go, we might as well take a look before.
So you think Triss maybe left really recently?
Could have.
Either really recently or the time bending in here just made it look like it was recently, or something else came through here. I mean, it's not too far-fetched to think that more than one hag came in.
Yeah, but to make it this far, with all of the doors that we've been opening and all of the things that we've been seeing, wouldn't you think that they've been undisturbed for what looks to be ages, even though we can't exactly tell because of, you know, the unending sunlight in here and there's not a lot of dust.
Greenstone.
Yeah.
All right, it will be interesting to see if we can catch up to whatever they are.
Because
whatever they are.
They could have stayed much longer before finally giving up. And there's quite a few tomes that are missing. So again, we don't know the timeline.
That's all very accurate.
Yeah, everything's very timey-wimey with this green stone.
So what door are you checking?
I'm behind Mativis right now, so I believe we're going to check this door together. Mativis, you should open it.
Opening the door, revealing area.
I'm gonna draw my new blade first.
Gonna try it out. I'm gonna. If you're drawing that, I'm stepping back a little bit further.
Make a will save when you draw the blade.
Damn.
You get the feeling that your sword, the pillar sword, is very unhappy that you're wielding a different blade. It doesn't like it at all. You don't know if that will bode well for you or not.
Check.
So Ravy's gonna look in the door. Mativis is trying to figure out what's going on with his sword. So he steps over here and has a conflict of interest. And Ravy walks up to the door, and what she sees, the green door opens to the room. The room seems kind of off. Even with the warm light of the Dawnstone, it seems a little uncomfortable. There's a massive pillowed bed that looks like it could fit six or more full-grown humanoids that sits in the far corner. It's littered with decorative pillows. Against the far wall is a large stone wardrobe. It seems to be full of silk garments, although the nature of the garments doesn't leave much flesh to the imagination.
Oh my.
There is an Iron Maiden-like device made of green stone that sits against the opposite wall. It's closed, and the floor around the base is stained with a deep iron color. There's a large pool of water that is being fed by a small waterfall that seems to be coming out of the air itself. In the pool are three figures, one full-figured, one thin, and one muscular. They look your way, but seem uninterested in your presence and go back to their private conversation.
I think I found Kavagar's brides.
Or whoever lives here, because if people have been leaving, like, within 45 minutes, I mean, this could be someone's, I don't know.
48 hours.
Or it could be the sex ed room.
I think what the last comments were from Oob might make a little bit more sense for this room. So
they're
uninterested in me. So
yeah,
why don't we just close the door and let them continue? Yeah,
that might be a good call here.
Closing door.
Okay. All right, the door closes.
What are you thinking? Could they be? I mean, this doesn't look like a sin well. I guess it could be a sin well. Maybe Orb. Oob was not in a sin well.
Well, it's kind of like the water that we got from the coins previously.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. It looked like maybe something like that could be.
I say we leave that for another set of adventurers.
Don't want to be greedy. You don't want to take everything.
Well, should we keep on looking if this is these people's house?
I say, Ogun, drag Mativis. Let's check this last room.
All right, this door opens. The green stone door opens to a nicely appointed room that seems vaguely familiar. It has a bed with threadbare sheets from sheer age. It has a footlocker at the foot of the bed made of green stone. Inside are dust piles of cloth that could have been robes at one point. A collection of green, hardened, desiccated leather-bound books that may have been journals. A small green you can see that kind of sitting inside of the footlocker at the foot of the bed, which is opened. So you can see some like desiccated journals in there. There's also some other things. There's a large greenstone dresser. There's a large greenstone tub that looks like it could fit two adults comfortably. And there is a large statue of a feathered serpent, its mouth open like a setting in a ring, pointed skyward. The water in the basin seems crystal clear and ripples gently.
Rakshasha, hey, gonna come investigate your room here and check out these journals.
You kind of look through the journals and they actually seem to be... Are you familiar with slam poetry?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so it seems to be...
So bad slam poetry.
Yeah, and it seems like...
So in other words, bad poetry.
It seems like... It seems like Kavagar has fancied himself a bard at one point in his adolescence. And
he's a poet, and he didn't even know it.
Young tortured poet, nice.
There's a lot of drawings,
and he didn't know it.
Yeah,
of different band, icons. Essentially, essentially, you found a boy's notebooks. His composition notebooks.
I'm going to actually read these because sometimes within the tortured soul of someone's mind, when they're writing poetry, they actually tell the truth.
There's a lot of stuff about breakups and things in here. You feel like if you go, spend some time looking through this, you might actually learn some information.
I'm actually going to take these books.
Okay, that's awesome.
I will read them.
Stephanie's so pretty. She's going to notice me one day. Then I'll lead her out of her room.
He's like, go hang out at ye old coffee
man,
shop.
It's green. Green like greed. Green like the color of my envy for you. Snap, snap.
Nope. I feel my intelligence lowering.
He's talking about clove cigarettes and coffee shops.
Yep.
The most dangerous spell Kavagar ever weaved was his poetry, lowering your intelligence.
His new idol or his new god is like Jack Kerouac.
Right. Man, this is so Kafka-esque.
He's like, now I'm going to go to the Green Mill in Chicago. Yeah.
I'm going to become a foundling. You guys don't even know. All right. That makes me happy.
Somebody follow in the footsteps of Mighty Ginsburg the Bard.
Right. Awesome. That's great. So there's also inside the footlocker, there's dust piles look like maybe they were put in here after. There's a collection of a couple of the journals look like they're missing as they're kind of going through them. Looks like somebody maybe has been picked through this thing.
Well, of course, he took his best stuff to read with him at ye old Starbucks.
Right. There's a green stone serpent with feathered wings. And a handful of green stone six-sided dice, 5 in total.
It's a D&D set.
Ah. You look through the dresser. There's 5 drawers. They're full of fancy clothing. Looks like a lot of really nicely made silk garments, dress clothes and stuff. And then in the, yeah, that's all that's in here. Really, that's all that's here.
Now you said the like the robes and the journals and everything were a little desiccated.
Yeah, it looks like something. It looks like they were put back or taken out or pieces were missing. Definitely stuff in here has been disturbed. If you recall what happens like when you disturb the sheets on the greenstone bed and all of a sudden once it left the bed, it aged hyper quickly. Mm-hmm. It looks like stuff has been moved around or taken out of here. It's the first time you've seen stuff mm-hmm. in one of these containers disturbed.
So someone else has been through here.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could have also been Chris.
Chris.
Yeah.
Charis.
Yeah, writing Triss. That down too.
Triss the Rakshasa.
Well, I had it down as Trist. T-R-I-S-T. Like.
Charis.
Or yeah. As I like to call them, Chris.
Chris. Yeah. Maybe we've just been calling him Chris the whole time, which I think is really funny. Yeah, so Chris is doing some crazy stuff.
Ye old Chris.
Yeah.
What do we know about Rakshasas?
They come from the Midwest. No. I misheard a song lyric when we were teenagers. I forget what the heck song it was from. I think it was a Rage Against the Machine song. And I think the guy says something to the effect of like, mic check, ha 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 ha. I am the anti-Midwestern Rakshasa, is what I thought he was saying. Because I don't know things. So I was like, this song's about a Rakshasa. That's so cool. I love backwards hand caster tiger, man.
Yeah, I remember because I hadn't gotten into gaming yet. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. Rakshasa, what do you know about them? They're incredibly powerful. They can live to be an infinite amount of years old.
They kind of look like tiger people.
Some do look like tigers. Some can have bird heads. Some can have ox heads. There are rumors that even a few of them have wolf heads. Their hands are backwards, so when they grab things,
I'm just remembering the picture in my first edition monster manual.
Yeah, in the first edition monster manual, they did have tiger heads. They did. Typically, they're pictured in very Sikh-like clothing, but that is not the case in Maya. In Maya, they can be of any cultural ethnicity that they choose. They aren't just more Eastern-looking.
Do they shapeshift here?
Yes, Rakshasa do shapeshift.
Would Nydia or anyone else from the group know that they shapeshift?
Ravi would know, Nydia would know, I would probably wager Allegan would know, Mativis probably would have absolutely no reason to know, Ogun wouldn't care, they're evil, he would kill them. It wouldn't be his concern.
Mativis can roll and find out if he knows.
Yeah, Mativis, please, roll arcane knowledge or something, see if you know.
Hold on to your butts, then.
Yeah, 12. Yeah, Mativis knows. I'm sure Ogun knows, but doesn't care. Like, doesn't seem like something that would bother him. It's a Rakshasa. They're evil beings.
This is totally not metagaming. I knew that Rakshasas could shapeshift as a player, but I don't know how small they can get.
They can't change. They can't go like baby tiny,
okay.
Or super like baby dragon size.
Yeah. Like baby dragon.
The baby dragon is not a rock.
So we're going with that. Yeah.
That's not a word.
How's your sword? Because you've been staring at it for a while.
Seems alright.
Yeah, it makes you uncomfortable to be wielding a blade other than the pillar.
I'll switch back.
Okay.
So I please the sword.
Yeah, Pillar seems happy about that. It doesn't actually like your other sword, and it's given you the impression that it just put that away, make it gone. You don't want to carry that. It could hurt you. It could draw unwanted attention to you. You don't need that blade on you. Put it down. Just set it down. It'll be fine. You don't need it.
It's a D10.
The blade's like, I'm sharper, and I can wake up when you sleep. You don't want the other blade.
I didn't even know he already had a magic sword.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Mativis both have magical swords, pretty much.
Cool.
Yeah. I have a short sword.
I'll use you for the main stuff. But if we ever need some light, he's got a little bonus. But
so one thing I want to say,
goddess, the last girlfriend of swords.
Last room we did ditch out on, there was this greenstone Iron Maiden. That's, I guess, the only thing of curiosity. If we want to open it, seeing how greenstone acts,
these people could give us information.
They're also ignoring me, so maybe if I just go into the room,
I'll come with for backup.
No. You stay behind the door, like around the corner.
Okay. Just don't talk to them or anything. If they're ignoring you, just try and get in without any.
Wait a minute, Ravy. I want to see if I can give you some type of protection. I want to cast resistance on you because I imbue you with magical energy that protects you from harm, granting you a +1 resistance bonus on saves.
Cool. Open the door.
All right.
Are you going to go talk to the three lovers or whatever? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not going to talk to them. I'm going to go check out the Iron Maiden real quick.
Oh, okay.
The greenstone one.
They might get angry that we are trespassing. If they actually live here. Or they could be just as much trespassers as us.
I'll stand in the doorway as backup in case things go, go pear-shaped, I guess.
Seeing how we found Oob stuck near, under the dark tarp, let's just give this a quick glance.
Okay.
Go for it.
Alright, I'm gonna open the door.
Okay.
Hey, three magical beings, I'm just...
They're enjoying conversation with each other. They're not paying attention to you.
Coming over here.
Wait, take a step back. Yep, make a will save.
You get a +1.
I think you might have made it.
Yeah, you made it. You do feel a wave of exhaustion wash over you.
Ew. Okay, maybe never mind. Let's just go.
You're in there now. Just open it up.
It's really exhausting.
Make a will save.
Another round you're in there. Yeah.
Another round you're in there. Make a will save.
Which would be 30.
Yeah, you're fine. You feel a wave of exhaustion wash over you, though. And you feel it stronger than you did the time before.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. I'm closing the door.
Okay.
I don't care who's trapped in there. I guess they're there for eternity.
They're fine.
Okay.
That is every single room, y'all. Either we leave or we go back where we came from.
Listen.
And
Lord of Change, Gregory, that's all what it is. I think we need to get out of here first.
I agree.
Here
she has to take us.
And I think if we're leaving, we're not coming back.
Nydia doesn't say anything, but anybody doing an insight check is going to see that she just might want to come back for many reasons.
Follow everybody to the hallway.
Okay.
Are we letting Nydia take this dragon?
Nydia, you have to ask your wife permission.
Maybe my wife would like to come with me.
Maybe. Maybe it's a romantic getaway. You and the hag hideaway. I get it. Don't worry. You can have your privacy tab.
This place gives me the creeps. It makes my skin crawl.
I mean, but you still have to show your wife your new eyes, so...
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of uncomfortable conversations as well, even not being here.
And you're bringing a pet home without asking. That's kind of funny.
Why are you still carrying the rat around?
It's asleep now on her shoulder.
I'm
not totally familiar with hags. Are they allowed to have familiars?
Nydia
would know, but...
Yeah, witches can have familiars. I think almost everything faster.
Here's a question.
Can have a familiar.
Nydia?
Oh, yeah, I do have familiars. Mine are bees.
Oh, okay.
Tevis should go through the door first. Nydia should follow, because we don't know what that...
True.
Could be keeping in the dragon?
It could possibly be keeping in the dragon. Just don't freak out. We're just... gonna be here with a dragon and probably all come out without it.
I think the magic is basically once we're out. Once we go past the hallway or once we're in the hallway, we can't go back.
Okay.
It's a one-way trip.
Here's my take on the dragon situation. I'm happy to let Nydia keep it and take it with us as long as you agree. If things seem to be going down a sour path with that thing, you will help us kill it.
Well, I don't think Nydia can help us kill it, but we would kill it.
Because you won't stop us from killing it.
I would be willing.
Okay, I'm not taking it for walks.
I'm not changing its nappies,
and I'm not feeding it. So
this is your responsibility.
Your responsibility, young lady.
Okay.
Young hag lady.
I just feel like we kill it. I just feel like maybe it could help give us some answers, and if not, I would feel terrible leaving a creature down here by themselves for forever.
Well, I can already hear Logoth in my head just being like, well, we already killed Oob. Ravy, you thought these things didn't exist. Well, I guess they do. Have some more arguments. Okay, whatever, Logie.
Like he's still with us.
It's like he's right here.
I was going to say that's a stunning impression.
So now, what's the marching order leaving?
I'm following Mativis.
Okay.
I think Ogun should go.
The dragon, if it'll go through.
The dragon will go through. Everybody will go through just fine. I just need to know if you're leaving or not.
Yeah,
we're leaving.
Yeah,
okay. And you leave the Dawnstone Temple.
Yay!
Probably a good night's sleep.
And a bunch of other craziness is about to happen.
Well, a bunch of other wildness is about to go down.
It's going to be wild, guys. It's going to be wild. So it's going down for real. The long hallway leads to an underground structure. As you look behind, you can see a small Dawnstone Temple jutting out behind you. You come out of the tunnel. The ceiling of the tunnel opens up. So you're kind of looking up as if you're walking down a very thin corridor. And you can see miles above you a rock ceiling, as if you're inside of a massive cave. As you come out the rest of the way, you find yourself in this massive, colossal underground cave that stretches for miles and miles in all directions. It's like being outside, except you're underground. Behind you, you see the Dawnstone Temple is just kind of part of it. The very edge of it is jutting out from a huge stalagmite, that's jutting up from the floor. In front of you, of course, the most noticeable thing you see is a massive dragon corpse, akin to the one you saw at the entrance of the temple. However, this one is clearly different. It seems to be free of all of the natural growth that was on the first one. This one is covered with dust and detritus, and it looks like the sheer age has started to break down the bone, but it is definitely a bigger skeletal figure. Beyond the skeletal figure of this ancient dragon, you see a vast cavern that stretches out to the edge of your vision. And way, way on the long and lonely horizon, off in the distance, you see a teeny tiny pinprick, almost like a star in the sky, a teeny tiny pinprick of the same kind of dawnstone light, but it is quite far away.
How is the baby dragon reacting?
It's asleep still. This seems unfazed. It's just sleepy.
Good. This seems like it could be scary. Big, giant, dead dragon.
We've got no choice but to continue on because we can't get back.
That's true.
I mean, you're right. We can't go back.
Yeah, we're not going back. We're going forward.
Can I, do a perception check to make sure that we're safe?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Is anything going to jump out and eat us?
It feels like you don't have a lot of experience underground. But this is definitely not your typical setting. You're kind of out of your element. So your hunch is that you're in the wilds, but past that, you're not really sure either way if this is a positive or a negative. If something could be stalking you or not stalking you. I mean, you're in a strange new environment. That's definitely a wild environment. And you've just exited a dwelling or temple and moved on into the wilds. So,
an underground wilds.
Right.
Can I roll a history on this dragon just to see if it's something from any of our previous books or of fairy tales.
Sure, by all means. All
right.
Nothing's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah. It does seem weird that there was a corpse at both the entrance and the exit.
And just to check this, the dragon bone scales, everything like that, none of it's usable, right?
No, it's too old. It's too old. It's just been too broken down, yeah.
That's cool. It's not asking.
Well, Mom and Dad were definitely trying to get in, I think.
Well, this could also be Kavagar's mom and dad.
But why would they have been waiting outside for Kavagar?
Let's move. Let's say we move through the cavern and try to get out of here. We have only business in the city.
It's dead. It doesn't matter.
Okay. So you guys, you want to clear this map? Get out of here?
Yeah.
All right. So you move past. You move past the giant dragon skeletal figure. You guys. Okay. So you guys have been traveling for a couple of hours. You're moving across. Okay, so you guys, you're making your way across this gray and barren landscape. The roof of this massive cave is probably at least 700 feet above you. Yeah, you're not exactly sure how you traverse this deep into the earth, but outside the confines of the Dawnstone structure, the feeling of warmth and comfort that radiated from the stone has bled away, and you're keenly aware of their absence in this massive underground chasm. Or chasm. You kind of see something vaguely luminescent in the distance over here, up in the darkness, but even with dark vision, you can't quite make out what it is. It's like kind of screwing with your perception. There's also the soil on the ground is mostly a fine black grayish soil, but there's these little rock outcroppings. You can see them here. There's a few of them over here. They stand about 2 feet tall at the highest, and some of them are only about an inch to a half an inch. When you get close to them, though, they are, it would be as if tall, wild growing grass is made out of obsidian. So when you touch it, it's like running your hand through razor blades. So walking through those patches would be incredibly dangerous and difficult for anything that couldn't, you know, wasn't like an iron golem or something. You know, so any kind of these sorts of areas you wouldn't really want to see. As you come up to this kind of section of the cave, as you're making your way towards that pinprick of light, which I'm assuming is what you're traveling towards, you see this body of water. There's kind of like a little underground lake. And that's kind of what you see as you're moving into this area.
Well, we don't need to stock up on water because I've got the coin.
What direction is the light? I've missed it.
The light is... Okay, so the pinprick of light is over here on the horizon. It's in this direction.
Southeast, west.
You don't really know what direction you're traveling underground.
On this map.
Right. Oh, on this map, it would be to your north.
Okay, all
right. Right.
This way.
Yes.
Okay.
But to your... to your west, there is some illumination coming from something over this way.
All right, I want to walk closer to the water.
Okay. And
peek.
I'm gonna come stand next to Mativis.
All right, hold on one sec.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
we get
boy.
a tiny glimpse of something that's not a lake.
No, I'm gonna stay with him as well.
And I will also close up the gap.
All right. As you kind of make your way through the darkness, you draw closer. You see it's a statue made out of green stone of this snake man. There's no other way to really describe it. It's a being with roughly the body of a humanoid, but it possesses the hood of a cobra and a serpent-like face. It seems to be carved from this green stone that you found in the Dawnstone Temple. You can also see this subterranean stream that winds its way from the direction of that sparkling pinprick of light on the horizon. And as it gets to the statue, it splits into these small rivulets and creates like these small little pools around a large pool, which sits in front of the statue. You know, and there's bits of rock that kind of jut up and form these dark formations. But the water looks cool and clean. Just from where you're standing, it's so crystal clear.
Does the water smell of salt or sulfur?
No, it actually it smells kind of clean, crisp and clean, like a freshwater stream would smell. You can see about 20 feet down into it, it may go deeper, but it's just the nature of kind of the shadows and stuff that are getting cast. But it looks like it's at least a 20-foot deep pool. Yeah, and that's kind of what you see right now.
Rock Shasha?
It could be.
Or
Kavagar?
Or lizard folk or Naga or Yanti?
Oh, the ones who originally inhabited the temple.
That seems like a logical solution, yes.
The children of Yig?
Mm-hmm.
I say we Yig it on out of here.
Is there any reason to get a closer look and study it? See if there's any writing that can help us?
Let me get a reflex save from Tevis, Ravy, Allegan, and Ogun. You guys are going to save, or are going to take half damage. And Ogun and Allegan are going to take full damage.
Okay. So they just like suddenly scream in pain for no apparent reason?
Oh, there's a reason.
Yeah, okay. The reason.
Just give me a second. It's,
okay.
It's called a reveal. It's coming. It's coming. Just give me a second.
Now we play the boss music. That's the win music. That's
yeah. We will get there, though.
Little premature, but we'll get there.
Too many games of Final Fantasy, I guess.
So. It's okay. It is the final of fantasies, after all.
There's only one. It's the last one. The final one.
Before the next one.
Before the next fantasy. A massive stone slams into the earth, shatters into a bunch of pieces. It's one of those giant obsidian stones. It lands right here. Rains down these shards of obsidian stone on you. Knight is outside of the range of it, as is the baby dragon. So if you made your save, you only take half damage. If you failed your save, you take full damage. Half damage round down for 15 damage total. Half round down. And that's initiative, kids.
Nope.
Wrong game.
You'd like
we're fighting a chunk of rock?
Well, no, a chunk of rock was thrown at you.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't know what you're fighting yet. You haven't seen it. Something threw a chunk of rock out of the darkness at you.
Or, so, for all we know, it could have fallen from the ceiling?
Okay, so, Allegan, what's your play?
Did we see what just smashed us with a rock?
No.
Alright, well then, I'm going to do something I've been waiting to do for a while. I'm going to drop a positively charged fireball right here.
Okay.
So it should get all three of us.
Okay.
So,
28.
That's healing, yeah?
Yep. That is healing.
Oh, wow, thanks.
Nice.
And the burst of light reveals, because it's a lot of light.
It would be.
I imagine so.
You can
see
brighter
than daylight.
Oh, so much brighter than daylight.
Yeah.
You can see on the other side of the map, or the other side of this lake over here.
Oh, boom, gong-gong style. No,
a multi-headed, olive-covered being.
Olives. I love olives.
I love olives. It has seven heads.
Ooh.
Sprouting from its large muscular neck. It has snouted faces on each head with tusks that jut out from them. It has a humanoid body. It's green. It's covered with patchworks of scales. And it holds a massive wooden club. And it seems to have be looking for another stone to throw at you guys.
Not to be cheesy, but apparently we've made it to the Olive Garden.
Ah.
I'm not.
It's gigantic.
Yeah, it's gigantic. Seven heads. So seven heads, yes, seven heads. And it looks like it's trying to find a stone to hurl at you again.
All right.
Oh.
And
you say hurl.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we need to spread out and move forward. How high is the ceiling on this again?
700 feet.
Okay, cool. So I can totally fly.
Oh, yeah, you're fine.
Okay, I move right here. Is it my turn, right?
Yeah, I was going to share a useless piece of world-building information. Please do your turn. You don't need to hear it from me, I promise.
Okay. We're just going to make you sick. Why don't you just leave us be? We'll only give you a bellyache.
Rave
make
says.
You hurl in another way.
Oh, nice. Are you going to...
I cast Rave Sickness.
Okay.
I puked it out of my mouth.
Nice. And I have to make a fortitude save, right?
The range says close. And so I'm not, in case you haven't noticed, I'm not familiar with Pathfinder. So
yeah. You have to be, go ahead.
The way I'm reading that, it looks like it's 30 feet for every two levels that I have.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, so that then I am within a different.
Yeah, you're definitely. That's what I was gonna say. You're definitely within range.
Oh, that water is so gross now.
Yeah. Well, if I don't make my save.
That's true.
Which I don't.
Because you would have needed an 18. Because
I would have needed. Yeah, and I rolled an 11. I don't get any bonuses. So seven heads begin to vomit.
Ew.
Yeah, so this thing is just retching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I look over to the rest of y'all. Remember 2 years ago when we had that terrible flu that I've been saving that up.
Oh, okay. For 2 years. Holding it in.
Yeah, yeah. I think we can just go now. So I can, yeah, I'll stay there for now, but that's my turn. My suggestion is that we just leave.
Mativus.
Yeah, we could leave. Like, how deep is this lake? Is it, like, proper lake deep, or is it, like...
Well, it gets... Okay, so the side ones here, this is 20 feet in the middle. Hmm. But it's only maybe a foot and a half when you get to the shallows, and these little pools are maybe 3 feet deep at most.
Well, would I be able to reach with a longbow? From here?
Yeah, you're within range.
I'm gonna pop an arrow into one of his heads. And
okay.
So, yeah, we can leave after this.
Roll to hit.
You just wanted to do some target practice?
Yeah, you hit it. 9 points of damage to it.
I just turned to 90. He's like, we can go now.
The next would be Ogun.
Holy Smite is 100 feet plus another 10 feet for every level.
Yep.
It's my favorite spell. What can I tell you?
Do it. Jeez! Oh, no. I was reading the wrong thing. I was looking at I looked at the 26th. I had scrolled down, and I was like, what the hell? What kind of holy smite is that? What are you, the Pope?
Yes. The holiest of smites.
The Pope and Butt Pants Man.
Yeah. Butt Pants Man!
I explained to Ariel Butt Pants Man, Maddie, and I swear, dude, she started laughing. She was like... You guys were so weird. Adorable, but weird. So let's see. I have to save Will to not be...
Yeah, you get half. You get half damage on a Will save.
Okay, so let me crack my Will save.
Yeah, that's not much damage, usually.
Oh, nice. Look at that 20. Okay.
Damn.
Yeah. He's willful for puking his guts out.
Well, yes. It's not much will for each head.
Fair point.
I got 13 on 4d8.
Remember, nobody wants to go under the seven-headed puke waterfall.
That's true. That next in the order would be Ravy.
Gonna cast Fly.
Okay. Can I tell you a silly world building?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So the reason I know how tall this cave system is. It's because when I was putting all of this together back in the day, I found my notes for this, which is nonsensical. Hey, John Michael, by the way. Welcome. I was putting my notes together for this, and I had to figure out the area space needed for not only a wormling, but a full-grown dragon to fly in here. And how much space they would need for lift to comfortably coast in and out. And apparently I did some actual equations based on like lift and bird flight to figure out the height of this stupid cave so that I could get dragons in and out of here comfortably and believably. Because I had to have believable dragons.
Hey, you believe.
How old do you think you were?
Now I can't even sing that song anymore.
Probably, I would say probably 17 or 18.
Okay.
Yeah. This is very close to the first adventure that Logoth and Grendel went on. Like, location-wise, you guys are very close to their first adventure.
And they say, we won't ever use the math that we learn in school.
Right, exactly. Kids, stay in school. You can run awesome D&D games. you're flying now, Ravy.
Yeah, so I'm going to go and fly over this lake. Let's see.
Throw me a perception check.
All right. I've got Kevgar's bad poetry. How about
his bad poetry journal. Hanging from the belt of this thing, you notice a really weird cauldron.
Okay.
It just seems strange with everything else this thing has got. It's got, like, you know, patchwork.
Seven heads,
patchwork kind of jerkin, big wooden club, lots of scarification, and then this, like, really nice cauldron hanging from its belt.
I think we should kill this thing!
If we must, we could just leave. I can't see the cauldron, right?
No, not from where you are. That would be Logoth. Logoth, the seven-headed troll that threw a chunk of obsidian at the party from the darkness. It is retching uncontrollably because Nydia infected it with nausea sickness. And one of its heads got shot because Matibius decided to play target practice with it while it was puking. It's doubled over, standing over here. What you doing, buddy?
I leave this place for 1 minute.
No, really, you did leave this place finally for...
Okay, I guess I will take a full action to move 30 feet and draw my weapon during that point. Void Blade.
Works for me. Void Blade comes out, ripples of negative energy pour off of it. So how long am I retching for?
I would need to read.
This spell functions the Ray of Exhaustion, except the target is sick and it falls asleep.
You guys miss a trick.
One hour.
An hour? Yeah, so I'm just hurling. Now, seven times.
You can move while you're throwing up at half speed.
Have you ever moved while throwing up? Now imagine trying to do it with seven heads.
Seven heads.
Like, I have a hard enough time doing it with one head. Trying to do it with seven? Nah, that's not going to happen.
I'm just going to say right now, the biggest puke puddle ever is
It's just, how dehydrated do I become? And how quickly? I have seven heads. That's
how much
lot.
Dehydration damage do you take?
Yeah, like, at some point, there's
negative eight strength and dex is not going to be throwing any more rocks at us, at least.
No. I don't think he's throwing himself out at the ground right now. Happy birthday to the ground.
How long does your fly last? Because you might be taking a dip in the Yellow River.
Fly lasts for a good long. It's got a good duration on it, I think.
So that would go back to the top of the order, Allegan?
So this thing is standing in one of these puddles?
Yes.
And can we identify it as a troll?
Yes.
All right, so Flaming Sphere would probably be a terrible idea. Is it ever a good idea? Well, against a troll would be a great idea, but it's standing in a puddle of water, so that has a tendency to put out fire.
Well, it's standing in a puddle of throw up.
Still, that could put out fire.
Have alcohol,
it's not in the pool.
It means its breath could still catch on fire too.
It's not in the pool. It's on because it's 10 foot. It's actually standing here on like the edge.
Then in that case, I'm gonna summon.
Shake it up.
I have two flaming spheres that are rolling across it right now.
Hey, Matt.
These are regular flaming spheres.
That's cool. I want you to remember this moment.
Okay.
You don't fucked up.
I given you all the warning I could. Ravy?
Yeah.
I need you to make a reflex save, my friend.
Yeah, I'm going for it.
I want you to remember this moment, Matt. Ravi, you're not dead.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you're not dead. You're going to probably land over here somewhere.
Yeah, I'll probably end up feather falling.
That's like 60 feet away.
Yeah, it's how much I traveled.
Holy mackerel.
Oh yeah, all the water, it's flammable. Seems to be this crystal clear water that smells incredibly clean and kind of like fresh water. It's incredibly flammable. And as the flaming spears make contact with it...
But I thought that he was standing on the ground.
Yeah, he was.
But the flaming them, went
the
over.
The flame goes over the ground.
And over the water.
Where did you summon the spears?
Behind him.
Oh, well then never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I thought you rolled them over the water at him.
No, I
did
summoned
too.
Them okay. Behind him.
Okay.
Because we'll the other back. Thing is, yeah.
Yeah, we were on the same page.
Yeah.
Maybe and I are on the same exact page.
I was also in character going over the assumption that this was regular water, so I didn't want to roll it across. Water.
That is true because he didn't want it to go out. And he
I'm with you. So they summon behind him.
They are behind him. Yes.
Yeah. So they light on fire. Because
that was when you were counting out your steps, so to speak.
Yeah, I thought you were moving the sphere.
Okay.
Water. Yeah. I'm with you.
At least that is my understanding of
the flaming sphere.
The flaming sphere is that I can summon them anywhere.
Yeah, they appear where you direct them.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So the spheres appear on the ground behind the troll. Next on the list would be Nydia.
Yes. Well, that's the first one. Does 8, but he is standing on ground, right?
Correct. Yeah, no, that's correct. I'm just so you're the I thought they appeared as the sponges and then ignite next round, and you can direct them where they go.
Let's see. That's fire. All. Okay, so it would actually be behind him.
Right, and then you have
and
to
I would then have to move them
into his space
into
to hurt.
His space.
Yeah. Because you have to direct them. You have to, like, control them.
Right.
Yeah.
And just to make sure I am not metagaming. I, as me, know what the properties of the water are. But
you, as the character, do not.
We, as the characters, have not had any sort of...
Yeah.
Nobody's done any tests or anything.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Don't worry. Ravy still has fire spells.
All right. So, hooray! So now we're on to Nydia. What's your move?
Okay, I want to move 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. So I move closer.
Okay.
So I'm within where I can see. Do I see anything new? Do I see, like, the cauldron and all that stuff?
It's actually on this side of him, so you can't see it.
Other side. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, this is brilliant. Oh, this is going to be so interesting. Okay. Matsivus, what's your move?
Oh, wait, but that was just
sorry.
A move.
That was just a move. I apologize, Nanny.
That's okay.
Sorry, Ma. I apologize, man.
So, I tell them, if trolls speak orc, then I'll do it in orcish. But otherwise, I'll just do it in just the language that's not common. Or, I mean... That's the equivalent of common. What is it again?
Helic.
Helic.
Helic is the common tongue.
I can give you some Pepto-Bismol, make that feel all better. if you just surrender, drop your weapons, no more picking up rocks, just sit down right where you're at and do nothing. And I'm going to hold my action. If they attack someone, then I want to inflict serious wounds on them.
Okay. It's going to puke and not pay attention to you.
But as long as they're not attacking somebody, then we're good.
Okay. Works for me. That would be Matthias.
I'm going to move and then pop another bolt at him, another arrow even.
Okay, roll to hit. Doesn't hit. So arrow just goes off into the darkness.
To the darkness.
Ogun, what's your play? Another one?
Chaos Hammer.
Ah, I hate that spell. If Ishmael the Sheep was here, pour one out for my homie Ishmael. Oh, yeah. That's my second.
Damn it. Nice. Every time you roll, I'm like, well, maybe you got to 20.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's. So it does, if you make your will save, it's half damage and no slow effect.
Okay, so I'm taking
4d8.
4d8. Jeez Louise.
So let me roll.
Still a nice hefty amount of damage.
Well, that's a heck of an amount of it. Yeah, gas hammer is brutal unless you're a sheep. And the sheep doesn't take any damage from it for some weird reason. Ishmael, the
does
sheep
it
just
really
looked
say that?
No, it just we, no. It was they got into a situation. Logoth, ooh. Grendel, and the sheep named Ishmael. That's not bad damage at all. Got into an altercation with a blue slad that dropped Chaos Hammer, thinking he was like, "Ha! I got you finally!" And then, as we read through the abilities of the spell, he didn't have them finally, and the sheep itself was also unharmed. So, the sheep was meh, and Logoth and Grendel proceeded to destroy the. It was brutal.
So no slow effect, but you still get the damage.
So I'm gonna take 11 because I round up. I round up for my damage, and I round down for you guys. Right. And then, so next on the bubble is Ravy. What's your play?
I even counted it out ahead of time and thought, okay, I'm gonna land right on that square. And then by the time it was my turn, I lost where that square was.
Happens to me all the time.
Okay, so I'm moving, and I'm going to cast True Strike.
Okay.
Or do I have to? Oh, actually, I'm going to pull out Thelonious.
Oh.
My lovely, lovely feather sword. I finally wanted to use True Strike. I'm on my laptop, so I don't have dual monitors.
Living like one of us plebes.
You plebes. I don't live that way. So that will take action on my next turn. And I'm just going to put up Thelonious so we can all see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Nice. So True Strike takes place next turn.
Yeah.
And that would be Logoth. And Logoth, you know exactly what this water is. And you're muted.
This water all the time.
I should think so.
Yeah. I would think more than anyone else, you would know exactly what this water is.
That's how people lose an arm, by the way.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, my question is, searing light, is it enough to, like, ignite the water?
Yeah, you think any kind of flame or super heat is going to set this thing off.
Okay, so I dutifully convey that to the party, by the way. I get the feeling if we all got off of the water and, you know, just had some flint and steel, we could probably defeat this thing. Everybody?
Yeah.
You there?
Okay. Yeah, no, I got you.
I'm done with that.
I've got two flaming spheres like 5 feet away from the water.
And I've got time to take a 5 foot step. Okay. That's what I do.
We're gonna need more than a 5 foot step. That's a lot of.
Yeah, you're probably gonna want to be at least like 20 feet away from this thing if you blow it.
Okay, fair enough. So I'll take that step, draw the composite longbow, or pardon me, short bow, by the way.
Alright, that would make it the troll's turn. He continues to hurl. Top of the order, Allegan, what are you doing?
So now knowing what this water is and its properties,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep the spheres away from it for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a 5 foot step back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to pop it with a good old fashioned magic missile.
Rolled it.
Well, magic missile hits automatically, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just spent damage.
Magic.
Let me make sure that that's all. Am I actually hitting it with all? Yeah. Wow.
You rolled a 3, a 1, a 3, and a 4. Plus
4. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, there it is. It's all rolled out.
Yeah, 15.
Okay.
All right. I take 15 damage. That would be Nydia.
Okay. I'm going to dash. All right. All the way back to the cavern wall.
Okay. Matthias?
I'm going to take a shot and then move.
Alright. Roll to hit. Nope.
No, I'm going to move.
I cover the dragon's ears.
Ogun?
I too am GTFOing it.
Alright.
Over here.
Ravy?
I got to fly. Jeez, please. Wait. Can I just fly up?
Oh, it's tall enough.
You don't. You're smart enough to know that would be a bad idea.
Well, you know, getting impaled.
Yeah, no, it's just you're smart enough to know that.
Yeah,
you don't
wanna, yeah, yeah.
You don't want to be above this thing. That would be like that'd be like trying to fly above a flamethrower or something. Logoth,
everybody's clear. We're all clear except you.
You're 15 feet away.
That's okay. Fuck it. 5 foot step.
1 step closer to the edge, and I'm about to break.
Searing light. I mean, so I would say, you know, range touch attack, but there's a big freaking pool.
Yeah.
You know?
So the searing light hits the center of the pool. Just hits the pool.
Yeah.
Everything goes white. It combusts into a massive fireball, just raises up into the air, blinding light. You know, the troll's gone, just gone. He's just ash. You know, as your eyes readjust to the darkness, the heat is like you're at one of those hibachi grills, and they do the thing, and there's just so much fire. It dies down. The water is kind of gone. This thing was probably about 45 feet deep. There's charred bone all in the water area. Looks like there was a lot of bodies either sacrificed or left here. And there's the cauldron somehow still manages to be around.
Yeah. It's
over here. But yeah, the water's just incinerated. It, about here on the map, there's a little bit of a trickle of a stream, and it's continuing to travel north. But yeah, just this is empty and full of tons of bodies. And that's kind of where we're at with that.
Wow.
Kaboom!
Yeah. So I imagine you guys want to continue on forward.
Well,
no!
I'd like to pick through the bodies.
There's a lot of bodies.
I think we should move forward.
Yeah.
Do I see that cauldron?
You do see that cauldron.
I would like to go get the cauldron.
Okay.
Look at it and see if maybe it was from one of the hags.
It is from a hag.
All right, I'll carry it with me.
Gravy is flying to the door.
There you go.
Our party has claimed the treasure of Oob and also beaten the seven-headed hydra of the Flaming Pool. But what dangers lurk deeper in the giant cavern as they traverse on through the obsidian fields? Join us next week to find out on The Great Old Ones.